5 minutes or whether you're going to be 2 hours or seven. I think the longest I've ever done is preach to myself for 7 hours. I was at work. And no, I'm good. And this is not my first air service. I did it a couple times down in the Dominic with rain. So this is not much. But I will tell you this much, after a 7 hour service to yourself and singing, I did get filled with the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, I can't say much. A lot happens at work sometimes whenever where I used to work. Cleaning, you had nothing else to do, just meditate on the things of the Lord. But we are going to be in John chapter 8. And it's an odd one to really speak about. Maybe some people don't speak a whole lot of, but it's about the adulterous woman who was sent to Jesus. And chapter 8, verse number 7. And when they came, continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that he without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. And we have to understand something, that back then in the Old Testament, that was the way that they dealt with sin and different things. They cast stones upon people when they committed certain types of sins. But thank God, because Jesus died on the cross for us, that we are living in the dispensation of grace.
Yeah.
And with Jesus' grace, when Jesus arrived and started his ministry, you could see his grace was starting to begin before even his death actually happened. And we were seeing an example of his grace right here. And then he said in verse 8, it says, and he again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they all which heard it began convicted by their own convictions without one by one, beginning the eldest even to the last. And Jesus lifted along and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus had lifted up himself and stood not but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So you were seeing where Jesus was starting to save people. And sometimes we get to the point that we think we're better than somebody else. We don't take literal stones to people, but we use stone words. We use stone thoughts, and we cast them out. We gossip. We talk. We say things that we shouldn't really say. And we condemn others, and it's not our job to condemn, because, see, no one really knows what Jesus wrote on the ground. But Jesus knows. And there's that thing in deep, still voice that sometimes Jesus, as you're standing there, he'll tell you something and he's working something out of you, because we're not perfect, completely perfect. We make our mistakes. And God sees all those mistakes and he works them out. And I don't have no right pointing my finger at Sister Judy if I see something when she falls, because I have done the same thing from time to time and have fallen and made mistakes. I can't throw that stone, because I'd have to have walked perfectly. I would have to walk without sin. I would have to have made no mistakes to where I could be justifiable to cast that stone at Sister Judy. And I have not walked that way my whole entire life. Jesus walked that way his whole entire life. And he still did not condemn her, because he wanted that dispensation. We're too busy. And then we have to go to the other side, to where even some of ourselves, we look in the mirror and we cast our own stones at our own self, saying, I messed up and it's unforgivable. And we're condemning ourselves and throwing stones at ourselves and putting ourselves down. God never wanted us to put others down, and he never wanted us to put ourselves down. Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to lift us up. He wanted to save us. He yes. wanted to have mercy on our souls. He sure. wanted to help us. And that was his purpose. And whenever he was talking to this woman, and they were trying to tempt Jesus and to do different, say different things, we don't have right to cast a stone on somebody else, and we're not to judge them. We're not their judge. All we are to do is we are to tell them about the love of Jesus, and that Jesus, no matter what they've done, that God loves them and God can save them. Yes, we deserve what we deserve sometimes, we think, but because of God's mercy, God has chosen to save us. We are only here by grace, and that door is open for everyone out there, is what Jesus is saying by this, because this woman was a known sinner, and he still chose to forgive her and still chose to say, go sin no more. And on the cross, whenever it was finished, that man said he would be in paradise with him that day. People sometimes like to confuse God's salvation and likes to confuse and make it more complicated than it really has to really be, and what I have to do to be saved. And it's just as simple as asking Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart. That is all it is. That's just the basics of it. And then from there, God will work. Jesus will work in your heart. He will pull things out. Being saved for however long that I have been saved, maybe a good 20 years, there's still things about me that God pulls out that I don't even know they're there. Sometimes there's characteristics about me that might not be so good. But God says, hey, I'll pull those out when I'm good and ready. We have flaws sometimes from when we walked in the world and when we walked in sin. And God, some of the things might not be sinful, but sometimes they can cause us harm. And God knows that they can cause harm, so he convicts us. And it's called a personal conviction and a personal walk with Jesus. And that's what God really wants us to do, is have that personal walk with him and have that personal conviction with him, and that we'll walk in the way that God wants us to walk and be picture perfect. But we try as human beings that we say we want to be picture perfect. We want to be ready right now. We want everything to be cleared out. We just want to take the floor and sweep it all. But sometimes you sweep out the good with the bad. What did Jesus say whenever they were talking to the people about the tares and the wheat growing together? They look similar. And sometimes even ourselves, we can't distinguish the good stuff that's in us and the bad stuff that's in us. But Jesus knows exactly what's the good and what's the bad. And when it grows and it matures, Jesus will separate it. That's what he said. Bring it in, and then will we separate it. Let it grow together, and then it will be separated. Because you will tear out the good with the bad. You'll tear out the wheat with the tares when you're trying to get the bad stuff out. And that's so often we as Christians, what we try to do is we try to pull out the tares that we see in other people's lives. And in the meanwhile, we're pulling out that good that's there. The wheat that's trying to grow alongside of that tare. And Jesus knows that it's there. But when in his timing, he goes, it's time to harvest this section of this part of that life. And he takes that tare, and he picks the wheat and he picks the tare at the same time, and he goes, it's strong enough, pulls the tare out, and he makes it to where it's clean again and where it's perfect again. He said, let them grow together. And that's what he wanted them to do. And that was just a fine example of something so simple that Jesus does in himself. He doesn't want us to condemn others and condemn ourselves. He wants us to live a victorious life. That's exactly what he wants us to do. But he also doesn't want us to be trying to just... we have no business going into somebody else's house and cleaning out a room. We throw out good stuff and bad stuff. It's the same concept. We wouldn't do that to somebody. We wouldn't go into so-and-so's house. I wouldn't go into Sister Bonnie's house, go in her living room, and just throw everything out and say, well, that looked like junk, but it meant something. There was something good there. Wouldn't do it. And it's the same thing with our spiritual lives and in our pride of our hearts and the way we are. We are not to do that to ourselves, and we're not to do that to what you call it. God will work out the things that are not good in our lives in his own timing and in his own way. But we have to be willing when God says, hey, I need you to get rid of this. We have to open ourselves up and say, yes, Lord, I will get rid of this. or I will get rid of that, or I will take care of that. But that's a personal walk that we have with Jesus, that we're ready, because he knows when you're ready to lay it aside. And he knows when it's time, because he's not going to do anything that's going to hurt you. He just wants to further you. He wants you to make it to heaven. He wants you to have a victorious life on this, on this side, and not be so rigid to where all we think is, well, this is just what Christians are, and we got to do this, we got to do that. We have to walk this way, that way. We can have fun. We can do different things, but there are certain things that God will let you know what your limitation is. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. Amen. He will let us know when we cross some lines, and he'll say, nope, I don't want you doing that, Lord. And we say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't realize that. I will get rid of that. I will take this item. It might be an item. It might be a thing. It might be a way we talk. It might be a way that we speak. It might be a way that we, things that we may do that might seem so innocent to ourselves, but God knows down the road is going to hurt you. And so he wants to get rid of it, but he will do that. But it's not for me to say, hey, you have to get rid of this. It's not for another sister or brother to say, hey, you have to get rid of this or do this or that. And what it comes down to is, with this woman, none of those people that stood there had no right to cast a stone, because they all had their flaws. And neither do we have a right to cast a stone or speak ill of somebody who has committed sin, because we've been there. We were pulled out of that miry clay because of, we've seen what Jesus can do, and he's helped us. But we so easily can fall back into it. We so easily can fall back into that clay and that world of sin very easily. But with Jesus' help, he will help us stay out of that. And it's by his mercy and his grace that we are able to. And that's the only reason why we can stand here today and we can sing the praises to Jesus, is because he's the one that does the work, not man. Brother Kyle.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want Jesus to work in me. Amen. I want Jesus to work in me. Amen. And then when he works in me, the Bible says it this way, that others may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. And so that's how we let our light shine, is we let our light shine by the way we live, by the way we act. And that, a lot of times, is enough. It's all it takes. Now, you will have times where you get to share or talk to somebody, but most of the time, it's just by living your life and letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen. And then, you know, God will begin to work your life. Amen. And he might send somebody like that woman, amen, into your path, amen, that you could help them along the way. Amen. And we need to remember how Jesus responded in them moments. Jesus didn't point, condemn. No. He told him about the mercy and the grace of God, and then when he sent her away, okay, now leave a changed woman. Go and sin no more. Amen. Let God use your life. Amen. Let's sing a song in closing here. I've been changed. I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. Amen. Has God changed your life? Has he made you newborn? As he put a fire inside of you, amen, then let it shine for Jesus, amen, and live it for Jesus, amen. Let's sing this, amen, as we wrap up here in the park, amen. I've been changed, I've been newborn, all my life has been renewed.